Ladies and gentlemen, if we can have your attention, please.
Eighth meeting of the Board of Supervisors is called to order. Supervisor that's running up.
Mr. Patterson.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Which one are you reading?
I am reading the. So we're going to go with the. Okay.
You're reading.
I'm doing the first.
Are we live?
At this time, I'd like a nomination for Chair Pro Tem.
Good morning, Madam Clerk. I nominate Supervisor Saggia.
Second.
Okay. Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Saggia?
Of course. Thank you.
It may take us just a moment to sort everything out this morning, so bear with us, please.
With that, if you all rise, please, and join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Chair, would you please read the changes for today's agenda?
Your changes for today are an added item on consent, A-19, submittal by the Board of Supervisors of a resolution authorizing Local Power Incorporated to submit a grant proposal to the California Energy Commission pursuant to its Renewable-Based Energy Secure Communities Research, Development, and Demonstration Program, in collaboration with the county. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign. All requirements of the Brown Act have been satisfied, as this notice was posted prior to the 72-hour noticing requirement. And that's your changes.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, we'll move forward to our consent agenda item and try to see if there are any requests to speak. I don't see any. Is there anyone here who would like to speak?
There's one.
Okay.
Is that a public?
No, there should be one.
Item A.
Is that here, right here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. Reverend Height?
Dr. C. Height, Los Osos. It is the way of man, I am told, that he who can't keep up with the tribe falls behind. The wolf eats the man. The wolf grows fatter. The tribe kills the wolf. More meat for them. As we approach the budget hearings, or should I say the budget hustle, it's time to ask, who is the wolf? Who is going to lose their health, their children, their home, their life, their community, with the excuse of cutbacks? Who will be devoured? Historically, it's going to be the least, as you do unto the least. Historically, the Jews, the artists, the disabled, the gays, the bohemians were the first to go. Well, now you have an entire community of Los Osos. Now the disadvantage that has been put upon the lower class has now reached the middle class. Now what has been historically happening to the least is starting to ruffle the feathers of people who thought that they had maybe more rights in their communities and in their country. When I moved to Los Osos in 1997 and tried to set up health, education, and transportation services so my disabled son could come to live with me, and no one noticed, but they noticed my failure to set up services. No one noticed when my Los Osos neighbor killed herself when the county determined to take her son away because he was having trouble attending school. She would have lost her subsidy. She would have lost her home. She would have lost everything. This is a familiar theme. She committed suicide. No one's going to notice when my next-door neighbor loses her children, and I hate to be an oracle here, but she's going to lose her children. She doesn't know it. It's in the works. She won't be able to speak about it when you go after her. She won't be able to live in her housing. This is a disabled family who was offered a three-bedroom apartment with stairs, and her husband couldn't carry his disabled wife and his disabled child up and down those stairs. And now they're in a two-bedroom in Los Osos, and they're going to lose their home. And now you have heard that there are over 5,000 people who are going to lose their home. And what I'm going to say to you is that I believe that if you do a public record search, if the press does a public record search, I believe they won't find one memo, one email that mentions Los Osos. By the way, I hear that the senior disabled people of Los Osos are going to lose their home. Who is the wolf? I'm going to object to any of the established bureaucracies from gaining grant monies to feed off of the people of Los Osos when you have known about this. You have known, you've heard it's public record. The people of Los Osos need their own housing authority, their own grants, their own self-determination.
Thank you, Dr. Hyde. Does anyone else wish to comment on a consent agenda item? Seeing none, I close it to the public at this time, bring it back to the supervisors. Supervisor Hill, any items you would like to pull?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Patterson?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to speak to item A14 and A19.
Please do so with A14 first.
Okay. A14 is a request to fund participation in a Bay Delta conservation plan, and that involves a study of the Bay Delta and getting our state water allocation at the same time protecting the threatened species in the Delta. And the request is to fund our portion based on our allocation of state water, both what we take and what we've subscribed for but don't take. And a provision in A14 suggests that we authorize the Public Works Director to sign the agreement. And what I would like to do rather than that is go ahead and authorize participation in that process, but have the Public Works Director bring it back to the board with the final details so we have an opportunity to discuss it. So that would be my suggestion on item A14, and I don't know if we want to pull it for separate action or just amend it if my colleagues are agreeable.
Let me ask for counseling. Can we amend while we approve the entire agenda, consent agenda items, or we need to pull it out to introduce an amendment?
You should probably pull it off and then discuss it.
Why don't we pull that out, Supervisor Patterson, and we'll take a separate vote on that.
Okay.
Madam Clerk, we'll pull
item A14. And Mr. Pretty here from Public Works is here if he wants to comment at some point. We'll pull it, Mr. Pretty, and then we can discuss that. And on item A19, that was added to the core agenda process. I just wanted to comment on that. This item was before our board a couple of weeks ago. It's the Renewable-Based Energy Secure Communities grant application that will be submitted to the California Energy Commission. And basically, if we're successful in getting that grant, this effort will provide needed information in helping the county comply with AB 32 and help us develop our climate action plan as well as implement our sustainable community strategy. And I want to take this opportunity to thank some people who are in the audience and some who are not. Mark Sheffrin, Eric Viem, and Ken Smokoska are members of the community that have brought this item to us. They are the ones that are submitting the grant. We are a partner with them. They and Local Power from San Francisco will be doing the majority of the work, and the county's effort will be to support this group of individuals in providing information and reviewing the materials they submit to the CEC. So I personally want to thank them for their effort, doing the lion's share of the effort in making this opportunity possible. It's a $200,000 grant if we are successful. And also involved in this were people from our planning department, Cammy Griffin and James Caruso, Katie Perez, and David Clue from General Services, as well as others from admin and county council's office. We were on a very short timeline. This all came together within a month, and we have an exceptional proposal, I think, and we've been working with the Council of Governments, Ron DeCarli and his staff, as well as Larry Allen from the Air Pollution Control District, and my legislative assistant, Amy Gilman, who bird-dogged us through the process and helped us get to this point today where we can sign the resolution authorizing this proposal and submitting it to the California Energy Commission. So I just wanted to recognize the effort that went into that on all parts. It's a great partnership, and hopefully we'll be successful in getting this grant and over the next 16 months be able to gather the data that will allow us to move forward with these projects that have been mandated by the state, and here the state is through this grant program helping us fund that effort and through the efforts of the individuals in the community. So thank you, gentlemen, for bringing this forward, and we'll keep our fingers crossed and hope the CEC recognizes that effort and we can move forward. So thank you. And with that,
Mr. Chair, Patterson, if you would like to entertain a motion for
I'll move that we approve the consent calendar with the exception of item A14.
And that includes A19, the amended item. Yes. Thank you. Seconded by Supervisor Hill. Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Asajian?
Yes.
Okay, and then item A14, I would simply like to have it come back to the board before we give final approval with the details. And Mr. Pretty is here, Deputy Director of Public Works. Maybe you could speak a little bit about it.
Certainly. This is Glenn Pretty, Deputy Director of Public Works. This item is another symptom of the state's budget problems. Under normal circumstances, the Department of Water Resources would have probably fronted this money. And what this project is the governor has directed the Department of Water Resources to begin the environmental process to look into the fix for the Delta. The Delta is broken, both environmentally and as a water conveyance facility, and it needs to be worked on, and some project or some program set up in order to both deliver water to Southern California and to do so in a way that is environmentally friendly and improves the habitat for the endangered species in the Delta. As I said, normally this is for paying for the environmental process to begin looking at this issue. And normally DWR would have fronted the money, and then at such time as any project would be built, that project would be financed and paid off with revenue bonds, and the state would have paid themselves back. In this case, they didn't have the money to front, and so the water contractors have decided to step up and front the money. And this is the program through which that is happening. We are a water contractor. We are a very minor water contractor in this whole scheme of things. I think around less than 1% or 0.5% of the water is ours to allocate. So but we feel that this is an important project. It will, when it gets done, it will make the state water much more reliable source of water for our county than it is now. The reason this is set up with the Public Works Director signing the contract is that the contract before you now is the final version of the contract, but because of the way the payment is being split up among the contractors, We won't know for absolute certain until all the contractors act, all their boards act, exactly how much money is going to be paid by each contractor. Right now, I think 21 of the 29 state water contractors have expressed their intent to be part of this, and they are the larger contractors, and so they represent over 98% of the water. And so it is a done deal, it's a sure thing, but it won't formally be a sure thing until all their boards act. And so what will happen now is that this resolution will be sent to DWR. All the state water contractors will send their resolutions to DWR. DWR at a cutoff date, which is next month sometime, they will say, these are the players, then they will split it all up. They will send the executable contractors' contracts back. And that was the document that is proposed that Pablo would sign. We could leave it the way it is and have Pablo sign that, but come back for a discussion, which is certainly appropriate. Or we can change this the way it is now and have the board sign it. We did this just to try to expedite the process, but we certainly it would be very appropriate to discuss it with your board.
Thank you, Mr. Pretty. And what I was interested in having that discussion about state water at some point in time. We subscribe for approximately 25,000 acre feet. We only take less than 5,000 acre feet, and our price tag on this is over, I believe, $430,000. And yes, absolutely, we do need to do those studies. But I'm willing, at your suggestion, to go ahead and approve this, but to request staff to come back and have a conversation about state water and our participation in this, because we participate very little, and the future of state water, you know, we don't know if we'll ever be able to get that total allocation, and I just think it's appropriate to have that conversation. And if we can direct staff to go ahead and prove this, just to facilitate that part of it, but direct staff to come back when the contracts are in and have a discussion, agendize a discussion on the state water project and our participation in that.
I think it's certainly very appropriate. State water is a very complex and controversial issue, and it's something that really needs to be, it has a lot of different connotations, and really does is appropriate thing to discuss in detail with your board. I did want to point out that there is a provision in this agreement that this money, at such time as a project is financed that is the result of these environmental studies, this money would be reimbursed to the entities that are fronting it. So that when and if that happens, the money would be coming back.
That could be years out.
Yeah, yes, very well, could be.
Okay. Well, then, if I
are
may...
Are we done with Mr. Pretty?
I think, are there any other questions with Mr. Pretty?
Thank you, Mr. Pretty.
Vice
Patterson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. What I'll do then is move to approve item 814 and direct staff to agendize a discussion about the state water project at some time in the near future when time is available on the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Hill? Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Esiason?
Aye. Thank you. That being the end of our consent agenda items, discussions, and motion, we'll move to the public comment period. But before we do that, a couple of announcements. As you see that Mr. Mitchum and Mr. Gibson are not present here. They're fighting for our cause to see what monies can they bring from Washington, D.C. So we're very thankful that times like this, probably whatever the weather it is in D.C., their willingness to go and work harder on our behalf. We appreciate their efforts. And prior to that, I have Ms. Shara Spiro with us. Would you like to address us at this time? No? A letter to be read? Okay. We'll do it at that time. We'll move into the public comment period. And our first request to speak is Dr. C. Hyde, followed by Richard Margetson.
Public comment.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
I said, didn't I just speak to public comment?
You spoke to the consent agenda item, but I didn't want to interrupt you at that time.
Okay, well, we just switch it. That was my public comment, and this is my consent agenda.
Because your first request was to speak for A5.
Okay, I'm used to public comment being first, so...
It hasn't been so since Supervisor Patterson had his term as a chairperson, and Supervisor Gibson opted to continue that. So it's your 3 minutes. Use it any which way you would like to, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, I should have worn my cap and my hood because I'm going to again say that even though all my degrees are accredited and even though I came to this county with a master's degree, which is advertised in a degree in critical thinking, I'm still not smart enough to negotiate the system. I'm not smart enough to negotiate services. But I did have concerns about a few things in that the county does seem to recognize that they need to support mothers, and I'm talking about mothers that have problems with drug addiction, because this county most obviously has despair. It has a public health crisis, a human services crisis, an affordable housing crisis, and of course people are turning to escapist behavior. One of the most important things I said before this board at the 2003 budget hearings is, do you really want to base your economy on the suffering of others? And I think the answer is yes, because incarceration, confinement, any form of confinement, it pays bigger than tourism in paradise, and that's really pretty incredible. One of the reasons that I still strongly urge the board to turn to council and staff before they start bringing forward these budget cuts, which are going to the poor are going to bear the burden of these budget cuts. Turn to them and say, hey, go down, check at the law library, see if any updates of the ADA have come in. Because once you get these mothers into a housing situation, they're covered by the ADA. However, people who are not at the Duval Ranch in Los Osos trying to recover from some kind of addiction, they won't be covered unless they're in a program or can prove that they're recovering. And you have issues about syringe access, and I'm trying to figure out the logic of all of this. When you have medical marijuana patients, their provider is also handicapped, and he's going to be sentenced. It doesn't make sense. These people were covered by the ADA, and I think that the attitude of ignorance of the law started at the top, and it filtered all the way down to the sheriff's department. And it's really, really important, because ignorance of the law is no excuse. It's really important that when the board, the new board, who inherited a horrible reputation from the old board. It's important that you and your staff and all of your providers who are coming forward asking for money understand that 20% of the population are disabled and that they have rights and they should be treated accordingly and not with ignorance, not with disadvantage. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Margetson, followed by Piper Riley and Elaine Watson.
Richard Margetson. The Los Osos survey and project update are out. They were mailed on the 17th. They started hitting mailboxes on the 19th. And they're required to be returned by the 27th. They expect people in 8 days to read the project update, fill out the questionnaire, make themselves fully apprised of the issues, and submit their survey in 8 days. You get longer to review your sample ballot than this community is getting to fill out a survey that's going to affect them possibly for the next 30 years financially. The project update has a chart dealing with the four proposed alternative projects. There's not one mention in here of Tri-W, the Midtown site. But in the survey, question 16, three different locations for the treatment facility have been considered. And then they ask you to choose your preference, first choice, second choice. The three choices are Midtown, which is listed first. Then the edge of town, Jacamazzi, Brannan, cemetery properties, and then the out-of-town sites, Turi Road and Tonini. Why is Tri-W even on this survey? If that's the case, that you're just going to put anything on the survey to elicit the answer you want to receive back, then why under the treatment, the collections section of the survey, why isn't vacuum on the list of proposed collection systems that are being proposed? Under the collection system, it's gravity or step stag. Because I guarantee you one thing, if you're at all thinking about moving this project back to Tri-W, or that's because this survey, if you know anything about survey theory, this survey was geared to elicit responses dealing with Tri-W and gravity. Please read it very thoroughly. But if you think for 1 minute it's going back to Tri-W, you will see civil disobedience in this community that this county has never seen. There are people already talking about chaining themselves to the fence at Tri-W if this board decides at any point that that project's going back at Tri-W. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Margaretson. Ms. Riley, followed by Ms. Elaine Watson.
Good morning, Board. Piper Riley, Los Osos Sustainability Group. Regarding the survey, Los Osos can have an affordable, proven, shovel-ready wastewater project right now. We can have a low-cost, green project which keeps people in their homes, provides clean drinking water, recharges our aquifer, stops saltwater intrusion, and protects the bay. For a winning system, the Los Osos Sustainability Group recommends, for the collection system, which is 70% of the cost, choose anything other than gravity collection. Gravity collection involves digging deep trenches in the middle of the street, which need to be shored up and dewatered. This takes time and money, and the trench water must be cleaned before it can be disposed of. Gravity pipes are large and laid deep into the ground, 6 to 20 feet. These unsealed pipes inherently leak sewage, polluting our groundwater. The gravity system will require a dozen energy-intensive lift stations, each with its own backup generator. Gravity's large pipes require constant maintenance in order to avoid clogs, which cause spills. Cayucas, Pismo, and San Luis Obispo's gravity collection systems have all spilled sewage in the past month, and the CMC was again recently fined by the Water Board for their various problems. Instead, please choose step stag, 100% vacuum, or dedicated low pressure. These sealed, small diameter pipe systems are installed by horizontal boring along the side of the streets at a depth of 4 feet. Think arthroscopic surgery instead of traditional cutting. This is not only less expensive and less invasive, but in case of an earthquake, ruptures are less likely and much easier to repair. After the Northridge earthquake, it took almost 14 years to fix their gravity system. 100% vacuum, low pressure, and step stag do not inherently leak, so they are protective of our groundwater. Step stag in the LOCSD 2006 report was estimated to be $100 less per month than the county's current gravity projections. Comparable vacuum collection projects have been built for even less than these step stag estimates. For treatment, we recommend ADS ponds or EcoFluid. Both of these use limited land and energy and treat wastewater to the highest quality. That's tertiary, and they do it naturally. They also produce minimal sludge. Like with our recommended collection options, these green treatment options are one-third to one-half of the price of the county's proposals. The county's treatment option produces a large amount of sludge, which is a biohazard. The county wants us to purchase more than 600 acres of prime agricultural land to accommodate their inferior system when ADS or EcoFluid would require a fraction of the resources while providing more benefits at a greatly reduced cost to the homeowner. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Ms. Watson, followed by Ben DeFara.
Elaine Watson, Los Osos Sustainability Group, to continue. Regarding site selection, we recommend out of town, certainly, Brannan, Jacamazzi, or the cemetery, because Tonini is outside our water basin. There are several essential elements that must be incorporated in order for the project to be sustainable. These include a strong conservation element and ag exchange. Using less water means the treatment facility can be smaller. Conservation will help stop seawater intrusion, preserving the aquifers, and will provide us with drinking water indefinitely. 25% conservation can be achieved using common high-efficiency appliances bought, installed, and paid for through the project. Ag exchange means that instead of the farmers pumping our drinking water and using fertilizers to grow their crops, they will use our treated water. Farm soil bacteria filter contaminants in ways that our sandy leach fields can't. Salinas implemented a similar program. They too had a water shortage problem and saltwater intrusion. Now their problems are solved because they utilized a holistic, integrated, sustainable approach, and it's even Central Coast Water Board approved. What's wrong with the county plan? Hybrid gravity is 95% conventional big pipe system and only 5% vacuum collection. Biolac and oxidation ditches are expensive, large, mechanical, high energy users, and they produce unwanted sludge. Spray fields throw water away. Broderson means very limited basin recharge, possible liquefaction conditions, and reintroduction of endocrine disruptors. By the way, putting sewer effluent into your potable drinking water is, or water source, is a health hazard, and the California PTA has a resolution against these bioaccumulative toxins. The county's conservation element is very limited, only partially paid for by the project, and will not solve our saltwater intrusion. The county designated preferred project system is the least sustainable for our community, our economy, our environment, and it comes with the biggest price tag. Los Osos can't have an affordable, environmentally friendly, sustainable wastewater project. As the Los Osos Sustainability Group and other environmental organizations have previously shown, green options are readily available. They're easier to install and far less expensive to build and run. We hope the public will choose one of the Los Osos Sustainability Group recommendations. If you don't see it on the survey ballot, please write it in. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. DeFada, followed by Gwen Taylor.
Morning, Chair and Board. Ed DeFada here. President Obama said this is the worst economic crisis since 1929. Many years ago, at about that same time, many of us remember living in cold weather, trying to stay warm, wearing hand-me-downs, placing cardboard in our shoes to plug up a hole, walking to school in cold weather, wearing tennis shoes, walking along the railroad tracks, looking for spilled coal to take home to burn, serving our country in one or two wars, working hard to help raise our families, and maybe some were able to raise a few bucks for emergencies. We are at that point again where our government's politicians mismanage this country's spending to the point of a repeat of 1929, while we saved up for a rainy day where our old age has disappeared in order to pay for their mismanagement. Maybe it was by design, or maybe it was their willful managed intent to hurt, punish, or ruin the lives of many citizens like those on fixed incomes. Here in Los Osos, because of Supervisor Gibson's antiquated, stinking brown gravity wastewater project, many homeowners are again being bullied because they live in Los Osos. Many homeowners and renters are struggling now and will only be worse when the $200, $300 a month sewer bills come in. Loss of equity in their homes, foreclosures, high inflation, and high medical bills have ate away their nest eggs. Looks like a repeat of 1929 again. Today here in Los Osos, the homeowners and renters are wondering how they are going to survive the cost of Supervisor Gibson and Mr. Ogden's gravity wastewater brown system. The bullies have reared their ugly head again at this late part of our life. I only hope you other four supervisors see what is happening to the citizens of this county. Mr. Gibson is doing what his campaign contributors want, and that is to get rid of the riffraff that live here and make sure that this turns into a Carmel, with total disregard for the rest of his constituents. Politics and the good old boys club business, as usual, is alive and well all over again. When will you ever learn you can't get away with this hot issue in Los Osos? Today, wastewater collection and treatment systems are state-of-the-art, bringing the affordable off the shelf and shovel-ready. If you four supervisors don't give these alternatives your serious attention, then you are no better than those politicians in Washington that have caused many to suffer silently. You four supervisors should call the representatives of these alternatives solutions to your office one at a time, but not without Mr. Gibson and Ogren. Why? Because they hijacked the process and saw to it that only gravity is the only project from the start. They did not even hardly look at the alternatives. Over a year and over $6 million wasted for what? Something we have already studied to death in prior recent years.
Mr. DePato, would you summarize, please? I'm sorry, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ms. Taylor, followed by L. Barrow.
Good morning. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos. We were promoted, or we were told, that we were going to have a survey. If you will look at the top of the survey, it is not a survey. It is an opinion study. It's more like a census study. The money that they are quoting in the study is money that you are supposed to have been able to receive in the past. That is money that you have no guarantee that you are going to be receiving next year or this year or years to come. Persons who have jobs are being laid off. People who have jobs are being reduced in their hours, which reduce their income. People who depend upon their investments to survive, not live, but survive, are finding that many of those monies are no longer available. Take this into consideration. There are problems with this project that you have heard. This project has been on the books for a long, long time. What you need to take into consideration also is not everyone in the community, as promoted, received a questionnaire or a solution form. There are persons who one resident to one home received two forms. There are those who have not received any forms. There has been very little publicity, and unless you pick up a Bay News in the local community, there is nothing as to where you can call to get a survey form. And the number that was in the Bay News is 781-5252. I'm repeating, 781-5252. If you have not received your form, if you have not received your form and you call into the county, you'll be lucky if you get it by Thursday. Maybe if you hold your breath, you might get it by Wednesday. But there is no time for anyone to sit down and review this in a conscientious way. This is a very targeted questionnaire, and I hope that those who sit on this board will look at that questionnaire and read what it says, and perhaps you will come to the same conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Barrow, followed by Chris Allaby.
Thank you, Gacho. My name is Al Barrow, Coalition for Low Income Housing. Good morning. First of all, I'd like to thank Legislative Assistant to Supervisor Patterson and Supervisor Patterson for the wonderful work they're doing. Amy Gilman is her name, for the work they're doing for the 10-year plan to end chronic homelessness. Greatly appreciated. Thank you so much. Really wonderful. The second thing I would like to talk about is the public relations professionals that have analyzed the community survey have characterized the county as crooks because it is presented in such a way as to be deceptive and biased. It is not an objective co-equal analysis. And Montgomery Watson Harza, Corollo Engineering, in collusion with the County Public Works, have propagated this bias by cherry-picking technology data. The definition of constructive fraud: when the circumstances show that someone's actions give him or her an unfair advantage over another by unfair means, lying or not telling a buyer about the defects in a product, for example, the courts may decide from the method used and the results that it should treat the situation as if it were actual fraud, even if all the technical elements of fraud have not been proven. Taking Los Osos assets for a gravity sewer by falsely representing it as the cheapest life cycle cost, number one, by misrepresenting the cost in the fine screening, misrepresenting the value in the environmental impact report, sending out biased information before the 218 to influence the election, sending out biased information in the community survey to influence preferences for gravity, calling the process co-equal analysis is not honest. We have a lot of information that we have been given that has not been presented. For example, Carnation, Washington won a prize last year for a vacuum sewer. They won a prize, and they worked with our consultants, Corollo Engineering, on that project, who did the treatment section. That was never mentioned. Those are errors of omission. They're not errors. When you get a prize for a project, you pound your chest over it. So those are just some of the things, and I would like to point out in concluding that the city of Paso is paying under $50 for their combined sewer wastewater, according to this city report taken off their website last night. Bernanke says the recovery will take years. The Federal Reserve is...
Mr. Barry, if you'll summarize, please. Your
thank
time
you
is up,
very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Mr. Allaby, followed by Jerry Walsh.
Chris Allaby, CDO number 1019. The 218 vote, in my opinion, was not valid because of the fear installed in the population by the water board. Now it looks like we probably will get very little, if any, stimulus money because we shot ourselves in the foot by voting to tax ourselves with a better vote yes on 218, and we'll deprive you of your home vote. I hope I'm wrong in this. Why is the entire unincorporated area of Los Osos participating in this survey when only the folks in the prohibition zone will be paying for it? The survey in general is impossible for a previously uninformed average citizen to complete and understand. Why a survey before a fair evaluation of other systems has been made is beyond me. What about seawater intrusion solutions, et cetera, et cetera? On the facing page of the survey, in the upper right-hand corner here, there's a barcode, and the numbers beneath the barcode are different on every survey. Now, is that barcode going to be used to find out who we are or how we voted or what? I have no idea what it's doing there. CDOs are a little suspicious about such things. If someone was holding your home hostage based on what your neighbors will do about a wastewater system and a $25,000 lien placed on your property, you can't call this America anymore. This is the kind of thing they do in banana republics. We've had expert after expert over the years telling us of simple and effective wastewater systems, and I guess they were too cheap. Our guys are going for the $200 million payoff. They have a lot of money to spread around. Transparent process. This survey needs at least a couple of workshops to get everyone up to speed. Funding, page 12 on the survey pamphlet, costs are listed in smallest print possible and is way over what most folks can pay. affording anything over $100 a month is just too much. Right. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Jerry Walsh, and Ms. Walsh, before you start, there is a last request to speak. Since we don't have an afternoon session, if you wish to speak this morning, please come forward and give us a request to speak. Yes, ma'am. Would you come up, please, to the microphone?
Oh, I was just hoping we could do the recognitions because they're for county workers who have to
okay.
get back.
Okay,
to
we're not there yet. Please be patient. Ms. Walsh, please go ahead.
Jerry Walsh, Los Osos. The Monday Telegram Tribune had headlines referring to the concerned citizens of Cayucas protesting a motel. For years, the newspaper derided citizens of Los Osos concerned and protesting a bad sewer project. That project is described in the project update that came with the current survey, and I'd like to read something from it. The advantages of the Tri-W site are that it is central to the collection system and close to the Broderson Leach Field. However, its downtown location near Library Church Community Center and the high-density residential area require that the most expensive treatment technology site improvements and odor controls be employed. Also, there are higher traffic impacts to the community with the hauling of biosolids off-site and importation of materials. It has high construction costs, annual O&M, and land value, along with the largest carbon footprint. Its small size limits flexibility for future expansion or upgrades. This is what we've been saying for years. It validates what the same citizens who are still concerned and speaking before you today are saying. We've been validated by this one little paragraph in this survey. We've been derided for years and years. We're speaking here today. We're well educated on this subject. Please listen to the citizens who want a different type of sewer. And also, we're kind of protesting this glossy brochure. You know, you wonder why government's budgets are out of whack. This brochure is in somebody's budget, and somebody's paying for it, and the Los Osos citizens can read in black and white. And we're paying for all this glossy brochure, glossy pictures. We're saying, keep it simple. We can understand these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bull Cooper?
Hi, Bull Cooper, Los Osos. Sorry, I was just driving by in my car. Can you hear?
No problem, sir.
And I suggested that. You heard how bad the survey is. I won't repeat that. It's obvious if you read it fairly, I think you'll say that the choices are unfairly limited and directed towards certain predetermined results. I talked to Kerry Brown at Building and Planning last week, and the county already has a land use permit in. It was signed by Mark Hutchinson on 123-09. I submitted on 12909. I actually saw it. I have a part of a copy of that, and the results are predetermined. The land use permit signed by Mark Hutchinson for the county says yes, we were going to have a gravity, conventional gravity sewer. It says this quote: it's going to be at Tonini. It's going to have we're going to be hauling sludge. I forgot how many, no, six or eight truckloads a day. And we have the biolac, we have the oxidation ditch system. We already know what we're going to do. What's the survey about? I mean, besides, the fix is in. I know that. Everybody's paying attention knows that. But even aside, there's this land use permit that virtually nobody knew about, and it's already done before the survey, before the draft EIR. Draft EIR wasn't due till the end of last month, and even then, the land use permit application was already in. That makes no sense. It's a predetermined thing. It's so blatantly predetermined that's embarrassing for the county, in my opinion. I don't know what to say. I'm just going to be repeating myself. It's backwards. The result was already in. The application was in, and then DIR. comments were due a few days after that, and then the survey is still due soon. It's all fixed. The county wants what it wants. I'm very concerned. I am concerned about, I don't want to go there yet, but I work mental health, and I'm concerned about the psychological stability and balance of Bruce Gibson, thank you, and Paavo, the kind of things they do when they're confronted with things that don't go smoothly for them. They get angry, they get fearful, they get tight. I'm concerned about their personality disorders and our Los Osos being determined by these guys. I've told you, even without the psychological stuff, I told you why things are out of order, out of whack. Please consider that. It's not the right thing to do, and people at home need to really consider, hey, don't let us get abused by the bad guys right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper. And with that, I will close the public comment period, and through the morning hours, I would try to remind everyone that we will not have a meeting in this afternoon. Bring it back to the supervisors. Next item on our agenda is presentation. I will entertain a motion at this time.
Move approval of the presentation calendar.
Second.
Roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Asajian?
Aye. With that, Mr. Hill, would you do the honors, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is to recognize Spay Day. Do we have someone, Dr. Anderson?
Dr. Anderson.
Okay, great. Whereas indiscriminate, and this is to proclaim February 24th, 2009 as Spay Day USA. Whereas indiscriminate and accidental breeding of cats and dogs results in pet overpopulation, and whereas in the county of San Luis Obispo, 588 homeless dogs, cats, and puppies and kittens were euthanized in 2008, and whereas all humane organizations in the county are committed to the elimination of unnecessary euthanasia, and whereas responsible pet ownership practices include the spaying or neutering of all companion animals, and whereas every member of our community must recognize their individual and collective responsibilities in contributing to the overpopulation problem and in achieving the solution, now therefore be it resolved and ordered that the Board of Supervisors does encourage all citizens to practice responsible pet ownership and to promote the welfare of animals in our community through the spaying and neutering of their companion animals. Furthermore, the Board of Supervisors does hereby declare February 24th, 2009 as Spay Day. Dr. Anderson, if you would.
If you would like to say a few words, please.
Good morning, Supervisors. I'm Eric Anderson, the Animal Services Manager for the County of San Luis Obispo. I'd like to take a couple of real brief moments just simply to thank you very much for your recognition of Spay Day and your ongoing support of animal-related issues in our county. Spay Day is observed around the country each year to bring attention to the problems of pet overpopulation and the unnecessary euthanasia of homeless animals. Every year in our country, millions of animals are euthanized, and several hundred within our county are euthanized, simply because there are not enough homes for them, or simply because they are the result of unwanted litters, which do not receive the care and socialization necessary to develop the temperament of a pet animal. The single most important factor in preventing such unnecessary euthanasias is the practice of responsible pet ownership. Specifically, the practice of spaying and neutering is the responsibility of every dog and every cat owner and is the single most effective method in reducing the number of castaway litters born each year around the country. In order to assist pet owners within our community to have their animals altered and achieve that process, Animal Services, with the support of the Board of Supervisors today, is beginning to offer vouchers to defray a portion of spay-neuter costs. And those vouchers are available today starting at Animal Services office. Individuals interested in getting more information about that can contact us by calling 781-4400. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. Supervisor Anderson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Dr. Anderson, I wanted to take this opportunity to just thank you and recognize all of the many nonprofits throughout the county that participate in animal welfare programs. There are many throughout the county, and I know without them, the situation would be much worse, and I know Animal Services works closely with these other nonprofits to reduce the number of unwanted animals in the county. And so thank you for that, and I want to encourage you to keep supporting the nonprofits as much as you can.
Absolutely, and I would note as well that in addition to their efforts in helping the animals directly, many of them are also involved in bringing forward issues of spay-neuter and actually supporting the spay-neuter processes around the county as well, and they deserve a round of credit for that also. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anderson. Our next resolution to be read by Supervisor Patterson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. If Chief Bob Putney would come forward. Thank you. It gives me great pleasure to read the resolution recognizing Fire Chief Bob Putney for 8 years of exemplary service to the community of Cambria. Whereas Bob Putney was employed by the Cambria Community Services District as Fire Chief from October 24, 2000 to November 7, 2008, when he retired from service, having previously served with Napa City and Napa County Fire Departments. And whereas his leadership and vision have improved the public safety and health and welfare of the community of Cambria. And whereas he has participated in numerous organizations since moving to Cambria, including participation as president of the board of directors of the SLO Regional Hazardous Materials Incident Response Team, I'd like to see that acronym. He's been a member of the San Luis Obispo County Bioterrorism Task Force, president of the San Luis Obispo County Fire Chiefs Association, and in that capacity, he served on the Fire Safe Council of San Luis Obispo County, and he's also served as president of the Forest Management Committee. Whereas Bob developed and implemented the first CERT, Community Emergency Response Team, in San Luis Obispo County, having trained over 300 active members, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors does hereby recognize Chief Putney for 8 years of exemplary service to the community of Cambria, and we wish you a long, healthy, and happy retirement.
Chief Putney, before we get to you to say a few words, I would like to make introductions of other officers who are here to honor you on behalf of their people. We're going to start representing our Congresswoman Kapp's office. Mr. Greg Haas is with us. Mr. Haas.
I just wanted to say I'm here to present Chief Putney with a certificate of recognition from Congresswoman Capps, but I wanted to first say that he and I started about the same time in our jobs up here. A lot of you should know that as the chief of Cambria, we've worked together on a lot of issues, but many of you should know that after 9/11, the Congresswoman had met with many of her fire chiefs and police departments and discussing how to best deal with first responders and make them better prepared. And while this is behind the scenes kind of activities, Chief Putney was very active and integral part of the Congresswoman working on national policy for first responders and how we prepare them, you know, communication systems and things like that. We've had a lot of discussions, and I just want to make sure that you're all aware that it wasn't just the community of Cambria he was serving, but he was serving, you know, the community of California as well as the nation with his input on his advice and his expertise. And so with that, I'd like to just make offer the certificate of special congressional recognition presented to Chief Bob Putney in recognition of outstanding and invaluable service to the community. That's 35 years of service. Thanks, Chief.
Thank you. Thank you. We have the twin sisters with us, representing Senator Maldonado and Assemblyman Blakesley, Ms. Arnold and Ms. Duval.
Thank you. On behalf of Senator Maldonado and Assemblymember Sam Blakesley and the people of California, we would like to present you with this beautifully framed resolution commemorating your service to the Cambria Community Service District Fire Department. I'd like to also highlight some of the verbiage that's in the resolution. Whereas Robert Michael Putney, Fire Chief of the Cambria Community Service District Fire Department, has unselfishly served the Cambria community with great dedication and distinction for nearly 8 years, and upon the occasion of his retirement, following more than 35 years in the fire emergency service profession, he is deserving of special recognition and the highest commendations. Thank you. I'll go ahead and continue.
Okay.
You don't get to leave yet. And whereas through his outstanding work with the Cambria Community Services District Fire Department, Chief Robert Putney has upheld the highest ideals of professionalism in his field, be it resolved by Senator Abel Maldonado and Assemblymember Sam Blakesley, that Robert Michael Putney, Fire Chief of the Cambria Community Services District Fire Department, be congratulated on the occasion of his well-earned retirement, commended for his superior record of dedicated and highly effective professional public service, and extended the sincere gratitude and appreciation of the public. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies. Now, among the most important, Chief, representing your district, District 2, representing Supervisor Gibson, the lovely lady with us, Sherry Espiro, will do the presentations.
Good morning, Honorable Board. I am Sherry Espiro. I work for Supervisor Bruce Gibson, and I'm here today to read a letter from Supervisor Gibson to Chief Putney. While business has unfortunately taken me out of town, I would like to express my congratulations and thanks to Chief Putney for his years of service to Cambria. His dedication to public safety has been remarkable, and I have been struck by his enthusiasm and participation in community events and organization, including the North Coast Advisory Council. I thank him for his efforts to upgrade the fire protection service in Cambria and for developing the community emergency response team. Let me also add my wishes for a long and happy retirement. With best regards, Bruce Gibson. And personally, I also want to congratulate you on a retirement.
Thank you.
I'm representing the district of Community Service District of Cambria, Ms. Tammy Rudock.
Well, hi, Bob. I'm Tammy Rudock. I'm the General Manager for the Cambria Community Services District. It's been my distinct pleasure to have worked alongside of Bob since 2002 until he retired last year, so a little over 6 years, and actually haven't seen him since he's retired last year, but happy today, even though I noticed there's a CAL FIRE representative here today. Kate Dargan could not be here, and she sent a certificate, so I don't mind if you want to stand up here. I know you may have some comments, but or if there's others in the group. But she first writes a letter and pens just a couple of little personal comments I wanted to share with Bob. First of all the years I worked with him, I never knew his name was Robert Michael Putney. Okay, so I like knowing that she addressed the letter to Robert Michael Putney, Fire Chief, okay? Congratulations, dear Chief Putney, on your retirement from the Cambria Community Services District Fire Department. I would like to acknowledge and commend you on your dedicated fire service career of 35 years. Starting as a seasonal firefighter with the California Division of Forestry, St. Helena Station, and completing your career as the Fire Chief of the Cambria Community Services District, your leadership and vision have been instrumental in the support and safety of the community. Please accept the enclosed certificate of appreciation to commemorate this milestone. I wish you the very best in your retirement. Sincerely, Kate Dargan, State Fire Marshal, and then she pens, congratulations, Bob, well done. And the certificate of appreciation presented to Robert Bob Michael Putney, Fire Chief, in recognition of 35 years of outstanding leadership and dedication to the fire service and the state of California, the Office of the State Fire Marshal, January 8, 2009, Kate Dargan, State Fire Marshal. So here you go.
Thank you. you. Representing CAL FIRE, Mr. Rick Swan.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a few words for the chief. It's been a long time. He's served the community of Cambria, not only, but also the community of San Luis Obispo County, but also the citizens of California. And a lot of you don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff that he does do. Many times through his career, he has taken mutual aid resources up and down the state of California. And as a firefighter, as a captain, I've had the honor to be around and associated with the chief. I wanted to pass that little bit of information along. He's not only served the community of Cambria, the community of this county, San Luis Obispo, but also the community of the state of California. And I want to say thank you, chief, and congratulations on your retirement.
Also with us, Battalion Chief Ricky Heath.
Good morning, Ricky, Rio Grande, Myrtle Beach, and Oceano Fire. I just wanted to share with you that as a hazmat team president, he's going to be greatly missed. He always showed up for the training, for response, and he always gave really excellent direction. He was always highly respected by the team members. Thank you, Chief.
Last request to speak is Peter Charlecott.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of the Community Service District of Cambria, the board, I would like to add our congratulations to Bob. It's just proved we made the right decision 8 or 9 years ago to hire him from Napa. We needed him because of his forest, wildland, urban interface experience, because we knew we have a big forest around us, and this guy's been working to tame it for us. And he was the right man at the right time. He built up our department. We have an excellent department now we're proud of. And he's worked at making us safer daily. Every day he's out there checking the forest to make certain that interface is a safe one. And we want to say thank you, Bob.
Thank you. Chief, it's your turn.
Thank you very much. I will definitely make it brief, which is unusual, I guess, for a government employee. But anyway, I thank you for the time that you've given me today and for the honors that have been bestowed upon me. I've been blessed to be in a career that I've loved from the day I started till the day I left it. I plan to stay involved in the San Luis Obispo County Fire Safe Council, and I thank everyone in this community. When I came here, I was a stranger from Napa County, and I was met with open arms from county employees, all the fire agencies, all the law enforcement, and I think that helped me succeed. So it's definitely a team effort. Even though we see different shoulder patches, we are one true fire service. I'd like to thank everybody who had a role in my career and for the honors that have been bestowed upon me today. But I would be remiss if I didn't talk about my strongest supporter and the person that helped me achieve the career that I've had and suffered a lot for me not being home for days and weeks on end, especially when the children were being raised and they were younger. And that's my best friend, the person who's the love of my life, and that's my wife, Dawn.
Chief, before you walk too far away, Supervisor Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say that I've known many friends and firefighters over the years who have said they're retiring, but I've never seen one retire. And as Chief Putney mentioned, he's going to continue serving on the Fire Safe Council, and we appreciate that very much. He's been a huge contributor to the organization. It's one of the best fire safe councils in the state of California, in large part because of Chief Putney's continued contribution, Chief Dan Turner, who is also not retired but retired. He continues to serve on that body as well. So thank you, Chief Putney, for all you've done over the years for the state of California and the nation, and for what you will continue to do on behalf of the Fire Safe Council and the County of San Luis Obispo. Look forward to continuing to work with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In my profession, we call that recycling. When we retire, we actually recycle, and now we work for free and give back to the community.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. It's been
Thank
a pleasure
much.
Working with you and getting to know you.
Thank you.
We'll move to the next item, employee recognition, with us, Tammy Douglas Schatz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Tammy Douglas Schatz, and here with me today is Marcy Goodale from the Human Resources Department. We are happy to be here to assist the board in your tradition of recognizing employees for their years of public service. Individuals recognized by the board are dedicated employees who serve as an example to others as they contribute on a daily basis to the county's vision of a safe, healthy, livable, and prosperous and well-governed community. Today we are presenting awards for 30 years in service. We have three of those and one employee for 35 years of service. Just as a matter of logistics, the board will read the employee statements and present the award. And after the award exchange, employees can come up and shake hands with the board and take a photo. And after the board has concluded making the employee statement, the department head or representative is welcome to come forward and make a brief statement, as is the employee. So we can get started. And our first service award is for Kristen Barnhart from the library. Is Kristen here?
Kristen Barnhart started in libraries working as a student in the Cal State University at Hayward. During her first year in the program, she took time off to work as children's library assistant in a public library, which is where she ultimately found her calling. Kristen applied for a library assistant position in Cambria and Cayucas, 30 hours a week with no promise of funding in 6 months. In 1979, she started in the Cambria and Cayucas libraries, as well as beginning at some of the most wonderful friendships she has ever known. Kristen is now a three-quarter time children's librarian, too, at the San Luis Obispo City Library and loves every moment of it. Kristen's job as a librarian entails many things. She tells stories, sings songs, reads to large groups of toddlers, and shares her favorite books with children of all ages. Kristen sees her work at the library as an opportunity to bask in the joy of children falling in love with reading. Kristen is an avid reader, bus rider, and lover of children, particularly her daughter Grace, stepson Kaya, and grandchildren Lily and Cole. One thing it doesn't say here is I know Kristen from her involvement in the Atascadero Drama Boosters, where her daughter Grace is one of the premier actresses, and I've had the pleasure to see Grace perform over the many years, and it speaks to Kristen's dedication. She's very involved in that program as well as a parent. And so thank you, Kristen, for 30 years of devoted county service as well as your efforts in the community. So thank you.
Brian Reynolds, the Library Director, Honorable Board, members of the audience, and Kristen, we're very happy to be here today to honor Kristen's 30 years of service to the library. There's many things libraries do and many groups we serve, but probably the most important by far is children, because all of us want to expose them to a love of reading, to regular use of libraries, so that they can grow into solid, productive adults. So Kristen's had a big role in that. She has many talents. We're honored to have her here today. Thank you.
Well, with these hard times, I'm very grateful to be here. It's truly a blessing to have a job that can reflect not only my advocation, my vocation, but also my passion, which are children's and books and stories. Like was said, I kind of used public libraries as a bookmark in my life to see what I wanted to do when I grew up. But by finding public libraries and being a children's librarian, I was rewarded for what came naturally as breathing, which is reading and sharing what I read, telling stories, and singing funny little songs. And I get to feed my insatiable curiosity every day, and I never really had to grow up. That's the cool part. You know, the SLO Library has an amazing collection of hands-on materials for the patrons of this county. We've got books, CDs, you name it, we've got it. But what's most amazing about your county library system are the actual hands who hand those things out to you. Christine Brown had one time tried to explain to the stewards the difference between the library employees and other employees, and it's basically we don't leave until it's feet first out. We take authorship of our jobs, and we identify so much with them. We make a difference every day. And for only 1% of the county budget, we give you more bang for your buck. We are the face of the county for thousands of people every single day. Our last program, just at the City Library, had over 160 family members. I average about 80 at a toddler time every Thursday. Toddlers, that's 3 and under in the children's room. It's a fabulous, fabulous thing. You mentioned my passion for the bus, which I see Jim on sometimes. I have a fun money-saving suggestion that for the car allowances that some of upper management get, that $500 a month could be translated into a $35 a month bus pass. And everyone would be happier because it's so glorious to see people who have a say in our county, like with Jim, on a bus. You know, you're locked in, there's no place to go, and you get to know your constituents, wouldn't you say? So thank you very much for 30 years.
Next, we're going to honor James Lopes from the Planning Department.
Lopes.
We'll have Supervisor Hill recognize you at this time.
It's my pleasure to recognize James Lopes, or as I see many of his colleagues here know him as Jamie. He's one of the most valued planners in the Department of Planning and Building. Jamie has a Bachelor's of Arts degree from UCSB, a Master's degree from Cal Poly in City and Regional Planning, and is a member of the American Institute of Certified Planners. Jamie has played a significant role in helping staff and decision makers shape planning policy. He actually worked on the original land use element and land use ordinance that was adopted in 1980. Since then, he has been the principal author of many planning area updates, including the South County, Salinas River, and Wasna-Lopez area plans. He helped to craft the Templeton Design and Drainage Plan, West Teff Street Design Plan in Napomo, and the Santa Margarita Design and Circulation Plan, all of which won an outstanding planning award from the American Planning Association. Jamie understands the importance of actually implementing the general plan, not only by preparing plans, but by going after grant funds and then following up with coordination for actual construction. He has been able to secure hundreds of thousands of dollars for various downtown enhancement projects. Without his perseverance and dedication, these improvements would not have occurred. Over the years, Jamie's work ethic and quantity of work demonstrate the very best qualities sought in county employees. Jamie is often referred to as a workhorse because he can be counted on to produce high quality and quantify of work. He is deeply committed to maintaining the highly valued qualities of life that we enjoy in this county and continually researches innovative approaches to urban planning and efficient land use and resources. The citizens of San Luis Obispo Obispo County can be proud of the efforts and professional contributions that Jamie has brought to San Luis Obispo County. And I can say that in my own sense, getting to know him, Jamie is first and foremost a gentleman and certainly is a great asset to this county, and we congratulate you.
Pause for a picture. Oops, okay. Ms. Griffin, you want to join us, make us look good here? You guys can't get closer then. Okay. We'll start with Ms. Griffin, then we'll give Mr. Lopes the last word.
Thank you. Good morning, Board. Tammy Griffin, County Planning. And it is really my honor today to congratulate Jamie on 30 years with the County Planning Department. For as long as Jamie's worked for us, he has really done so much to stay on the cutting edge of our profession. And that takes extra time and effort. It's hard enough to come in and do your job, but to always be out there learning about the new things, staying on the cutting edge, bringing those back, figuring out ways to have them work for us in the county really requires that extra effort. And we really, really appreciate that. And congratulations on 30 years. I met Jamie on my very, 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 very first day 25 years ago, and got to work with him one-on-one for many, many years. So congratulations, 30 years. Looking for a lot more from you the next few years. So don't stop now, Jamie.
Thank you, Ms. Griffin. Mr. Lopes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's really a privilege to be able to work in a county as blessed as this one is with the environment it has and with the people who work for the county government. Throughout my career, I've just had the opportunity to work with some really great people, not to mention all those people, but just maybe pinpoint a few, beginning with Ned Rogaway. When we started the Land Use Element Program in the 1970s, we were dealing with the county general plan that was really on the back of a shelf somewhere, and it became put forward in a new system that won a state planning award in 1980. And since then, having worked with not only Ned, but Henry Ingen, his assistant, and then subsequently Paul Crawford, his assistant, Bryce Tingle, planners like Bill Rollman, those people who have gone past us, and then also including Pat Beck, recently retired, and my current colleagues. I just can't say enough about them. We all help each other, and we try to make the best of our situation as we face the tough times we have now. And we are looking forward to advancing our community environments and our ability to have a real prosperous and livable county. So with that, I do plan to be here a few more years and hope that I can contribute. Thanks so much for your honor today.
Thank you. Before you walk too far away, we hope that you just do that. But Supervisor Patterson?
Thank you. One thing that wasn't mentioned, I met Jamie in the late 70s. We actually served on the board of directors at the Environmental Center of San Luis Obispo County for a number of years. And I knew Jamie was a planner with the county, and I didn't think, 30 years later that we'd continue to be working together, and I appreciate the fact that James spoke about all the people that he's worked with over those years, because there have been some very significant individuals that have helped shape San Luis Obispo County through the planning process, and some of Jamie's current colleagues are here, Chuck Stevenson and Mike Wolkin and John Ufrat. All have been instrumental in moving the long-range planning division forward. And we still have our challenges, and I look forward to working with you and your colleagues as we move forward here in San Luis Obispo. And thank you for all those years, and thank you for being involved in the community as well as working for the county.
Thanks, Jim.
And thank you. I do also appreciate your hard work and hope you'll last for a few more years, as Liz Kemi needs somebody to guide her through her activities. With that, we thank you.
Okay, next we'll honor Michael Bishop from the Public Works Department.
Michael, if you come forward, please, and then maybe Mr. Preedy will, or...
Okay.
Gives me great pleasure to read and congratulate Mike for 30 years of excellent service to our community and county. Mike Bishop became an employee of Public Works Department in 1979 as a Public Works Worker number 2. He quickly was promoted to Public Works Worker 3 in 1981 and was again promoted to a Public Works Worker 4 in 83. In this role, Mike became the primary driver of our county low bed, which was a giant truck used for moving heavy equipment around the county. In January of 2008, Mike became the lead worker on our county 3 crew, where his years of knowledge and experience are greatly appreciated. Mike's longtime hobby is playing music. He has a very diverse background in music and is currently playing in 2 local bands, a rock band and a county band. We thank you, Mike, for your dedication and hard work. And if you come forward, please, we got a little token of our appreciation.
Randy Getze, Public Works. Gives me great pleasure to be here today to recognize Mike for his 30 years of service. I've actually known Mike longer than 30 years, back when he was playing in other bands when I was in high school, long time ago. But Mike, we appreciate all of your dedicated efforts, your hard work for the Public Works Department. You've always been there when we've needed you, and you're always readily available during storms or any type of an event that's unusual. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Would you like to say a few words or play a music for us?
I'm forced to because everybody else has said something. I've seen a lot of changes in public works since 1979, obviously, and it's been a pretty good journey through here. And if I can say one thing for the rest of my guys, you're still getting the best bang for your buck on county roads. It's the highest quality work. Every one of them are very good workers. And continue, and will continue to do so for the highest public safety on our roads in the future. So I think you've got a very good crew out there taking care of these roads with Randy's help and the rest of the gang in the courthouse, which I cannot remember all their names, and I'll be honest. So, but thank you very much.
Thank you.
And finally, today we have a 35-year service award, and we'll honor Susan Hobler from General Services Agency.
Again, it gives me great pleasure, Susan, to commend you and recognize you of 35 years of service to our county. Whereas Susan Hobler has worked for the County of San Luis Obispo without interruption since 1974 within information technology, encompassing 35 years of employment, 7 title changes, 5 departmental name changes, and 8 directors, and who knows how many supervisors. Whereas Susan Hobler has maintained an exemplary attendance record that could be matched against anyone in the county. And whereas Susan Hobler was instrumental in the successful accomplishment of many major technology initiatives with the intention of providing an up-to-date, secure, and cost-effective data center. And whereas Susan Hobler is known for her can-do attitude, continued enthusiasm for providing excellent customer service, and her dedication in supporting her team and running computer operations in the most efficient and reliable way. And now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered by the Board of Supervisors, thus hereby commend Susan Hobler for her 35 years of dedication to the county mission. Would you please come forward and accept this resolution? You might want to open that and face the camera. Pell.
Good morning, board members. I'm Jeanette Pell, the General Services Agency Director. I prepared some words, and I just feel right now that we've heard a lot of talking. I'm just going to make this brief. I haven't been with the county more than 6 years, and I think one of the first things that I did was honor Sue for her 30 years with the county. And so this is quite remarkable that I'm here again, but I know Sue a lot better than I did when I first started with the county. And I have to say that Sue is always smiling. She always has a can-do attitude, and after 35 years, I think that's remarkable. And I look forward to working with her for many, many more years. Congratulations.
Thank you, Honorable Board. It has been remarkable that it's been 35 years. It's been an honor to work for the county. We've had great people in our department. We've had great people throughout the county. I can't say enough about the people I've worked for, worked with, and that work with me in the computer operations section and all of the county IT department. And it's been, like I said, it's been an honor. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Scott. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we'll take a short break. We'll be back at 10:45. Thank you. Thanks for the help, guys.
C1 is a hearing to consider an ordinance extending County Ordinance Number 301, Southern California Gas Company's pipeline franchise for 1 year, all districts. Item introduced February 24, 2009. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Getze.
Good morning, board members. Randy Getze, Public Works. We're recommending that you adopt the ordinance that's extending the Southern California Gas Line Gas Company franchise for 1 more year. We have ongoing negotiations with them, and we would like to wrap it up within the next year. So, with that.
Thank you. Any comments or questions to staff? Mr. Patterson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question for Mr. Getze. I know that we've been working on this. I think this is the second extension maybe, and we had a hearing on it a couple of years ago where the issues were actually raised and discussed by the board, and I'm just curious, your staff report mentions that some have been resolved, but there's still some outstanding issues, and I was just curious to know how close you are to reaching an agreement. Do you feel that we're getting there?
Yes, I do. I feel that, you know, we're getting closer with each meeting that we have with them. We've resolved 3 out of the 6. We still have 6 or 3 items left to discuss, and we have a meeting scheduled for next week.
Great.
So I believe that we should be finding resolution.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. This time we'll go to the public, see if anyone from public wishes to comment on this item. Seeing none, bring it back to the supervisors for a motion and
I'll move staff's recommendation.
Second.
The motion mover want to waive the reading as well?
Yes.
Okay, and second concurs. With that, a roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Patterson?
Aye.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Assange?
Aye. Thank you. Next item, please.
Item C2 is a hearing to consider a resolution approving a request from the Squire Canyon Community Services District to change their biennial election date to be consolidated with the statewide general election. Recommend approval and instruct chairperson to sign.
Thank you, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Julie Rodewald, County Clerk Recorder. This will be fairly brief. Squire Canyon Community Services District is one of our 5 districts whose election currently is held in November of the odd-numbered years. They passed a resolution requesting that their election be changed to November of the even-numbered years and consolidated with the general election. We've notified all the other districts and asked for input on any effect. It has no effect on our office or the voters. The only effect will be that there will be an extension of the current terms for an additional year, and if your board approves the resolution, we'll be sending out notices to the voters in the Community Services District.
Thank you, ma'am. Any comments or questions from supervisors? Seeing none, does anyone from the public wishes to comment on this item? Seeing none, at this time we'll close it to the public, bringing it back to the supervisors for a possible motion.
I move that we adopt the staff's recommendation.
And I'll second.
Thank you, gentlemen. With that, a roll call, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Sajjan?
Aye. Next item, please, Madam Clerk.
Item D1 is a consideration of a request to amend the Land Use Ordinance, Title 22 of the County Code, to modify the county's Transfer of Development Credit, TDC program, all districts. Item continued from January 27, 2009. Recommended item be continued to March 10, 2009.
Thank you. With that, we do not have a separation from planning. Let me open it up to the public, see if they wish to comment on this item. Seeing none, bring it back to supervisors. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I'd move that we continue this until March 10th.
And I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. That brings us to closed session item. Let me ask see anyone from the public wishes to comment on the items listed under closed session. Seeing none, bring it back to our county council.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Warren Jensen, county council. We'll need about 30 minutes, I believe.
Okay, then. We should be back here roughly around 11:30 to report back from closed session. And again, a reminder to our audience that there will be no afternoon session. We'll be done this morning fairly by noontime. Okay, we'll move to closed session at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Warren Jensen, County Council. The board did meet in closed session. No reportable action was taken, so no further reports required.
Thank you. And with that report, we'll adjourn this meeting. And another reminder that there is no meeting this afternoon. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
appreciate
you.
Your trust, and we'll move forward.
Thank you.